before us that's with the Lord, somehow or other has won out on us at all times.
Amen.
And I know I've felt that of my grandparents, my dad. You know, we miss these people, but we know that they're in heaven and they're waiting for us. You see, they already know what a good time we're going to have. We don't know yet. We can talk about it. We've studied it. They're there. They're there. They're with the Lord. They're in His presence. They're not hurting no more. They got the right mind. They got the right body. What do you think of that?
Amen.
Good Lord, have a body. Lord knows I can't wait till I get my right mind and my right body. I'm telling you, it'll be a good day there, that's for sure. All right. I had a study several years ago about the five crowns that the Bible speaks of that we can earn here on this earth in preparation for heaven. We don't receive these crowns, rewards, some call them, until we get to heaven, but we earn them, if you will, while we're here in the flesh. Well, since we're talking about the subject of heaven, I'm going to refresh your mind on what these five rewards, or as the Bible calls them, crowns, and why they are important is for this reason. I've always heard this throughout all of my life. I'm not worried about rewards. I just want to make it. I just want to get there. And I understand what you're saying. I mean, we all want to go to heaven when we die. We all know if we believe in Jesus, we've accepted Jesus, He is our Lord and our Savior, then this is our ticket, our entrance into heaven. But as Christian people, I feel like we should have a greater desire than just to barely make it. I don't want to just barely make it. I want to go in there knowing that I've done all that I can for Jesus for this one reason. Listen very closely. He did everything He could for me.
Well,
he was on this planet for 33 years. He suffered for me. Gave me some of the greatest words on this planet in a book called the Bible. The Bible is there to give me strength when I need it the most. When I'm sad, to give me happiness. When I need advice, to give me great advice. When I'm sinning, to give me conviction. And to remind me that one day I've got a heavenly home that I'm going to go to. That no matter what kind of a bad day I'm having, when I leave this world, I'm going to be with Jesus forevermore, forevermore, forevermore. And it's because of what Jesus did. Jesus gave everything for me. It's personal. It's for me. He died for me. He lived for me. He resurrected for me. And He's coming back for me.
Amen.
It's personal. Everything that Jesus does is personal to you. He knows you by name. Knows you by name. Because it's because of Him that you're in this world today. Now, understanding all that, it motivates me to want to do everything that I can for the Lord. From the time I get up to the time I go to bed, I try to think, what am I doing for the Lord? Whether I'm cutting grass, sweeping the carpet, talking to someone about the Bible, visiting someone in the hospital, making a phone call, or texting. Some of you have said, I received a text from my preacher. What is going on? I don't text. Now, my eyesight's getting worse all the time. The little screen, I couldn't see no more. I went into AT&T and said, I want the biggest screen that you got. That's what they gave me, other than a tablet. Now, he said, what is the good thing about this? He said, you text. I said, no. Texting, I don't get into that. He said, well, let me tell you something. On these new phones, all you got to do is just talk into the phone, and it does it. I'm a texter now. Not only does it text it, it checks my spelling. Oh, you get a text from me, it'll be spelled right. Yeah. I just texted her and I said, Monica, I love you. Are you having a great day? I was right to her. Isn't technology wonderful?
Amen.
That's what I do. I just talk into the thing. I say, call my wife, or no, I'll say, text my wife, tell her I love her. Text her. Love her. Going right back to me? It's that simple. So, now, for those of you who've gotten a text from me lately, that's the reason. I'm going to, if all of you got a cell phone, I'm going to put you on the list. I'm going to start texting you every day. I said, oh, you got a mixed up. I sent Kevin a message today. I love you, Kevin. I thought I sent it to my wife. Kevin sent it back. He said, well, I love you too. You know, I'm trying to make sure the air conditioner is working down here at the moment. So make sure you know what you're texting, who you're texting it to. But you know, if you tell somebody you love them, that's pretty well. I think that's a good thing to do. Anyway, when we reach out and do things for the Lord, the Bible says we're going to be rewarded for it and be given crowns. There's five of them. It doesn't mean that these are all the rewards that you can receive, but these are the five crowns. And while this is important, you remember in Revelation, and I'm going to show you this again, it says that one of the wonderful things that we're going to do after the rapture of the church is we're going to lay down our crowns at what?
Jesus.
The feet of Jesus. I want some crowns to lay down at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
You with me? You get what I'm trying to say? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's look at the first crown. Brother Larry, I'm ready if you are. What kinds of rewards or crowns will believers receive in heaven? All right, here we go. First one. The victor's crown comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. And every man that striveth for the mastery of the temperance in all things, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as an uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that meeteth there. Pretty worthy. Worthy, I'm trying to say. Here's simply what it says. You know, in this world, we play a lot of sports. We do a lot of things. You get trophies. Everybody know what a trophy is? When I was in high school, I got several trophies. That's right. I got several trophies. You don't believe that, do you? Yes, I did. I hit the most free throws in 1974 for PRP. Thank you. I got a trophy for that. That's right. That's right. I know you don't care, but it's beside the point. Now, that trophy is since disappeared. Gone. I actually wanted to throw it away. It was taking up space. She wanted angels instead of trophies for some reason. All of this to say is all the trophies that you can earn in this world is just going to disappear and go away. I don't care the biggest trophy that you make, one day it's going to disappear. What you do for the Lord, that reward, that trophy, that crown will never disappear because it's made by the hands of Jesus. That's what that is saying. He's saying, you know, if it's like someone who fights. The trophies you can receive here, if you fight somebody and you're just throwing your fist up in the air and there's no one on the other side, you know, you do that, that's a little crazy, isn't it? I mean, if someone just goes up and throws their fist around, ain't nobody standing there but them, they're just fighting themselves. You ever seen anybody hit themselves before? I mean, that's a little silly, isn't it? You know? I mean, one time I took a swing at somebody and hit myself. They ducked and I hit myself, knocked myself out. Well, what can I say? Now, that is what's called wasting time. Because the things of this world, folks, it's a waste of time. The things you do for heaven and the glory of God is not wasting time. Do you get the picture? I want you to see. Anything we do for God, you will be rewarded for it. It will not be a waste of time. do it for the Lord. Give him a hand of applause. The one crown that everyone will receive in heaven, because it's called the victor's crown, because you've accepted Jesus Christ. Everybody in heaven will have at least one crown. The other four, according to what you do, how you live, how you act, whether or not you receive these other crowns, as we talk about. But everybody that goes to heaven will have at least this one crown to lay down at the feet of Jesus, because this means you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Everybody understand? Say amen.
Amen.
Alright, well, let's go to the next one. Crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope, Paul writes, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? And not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. We call this the soul winner's crown. Here's what Paul said to this church. He said, I am so thankful that you're listening to my messages, you're listening to my sermons, and that you're responding to the love of Christ. You're responding to a call of Christ. In other words, to the people who are being saved under his ministry and are coming through the invitation of accepting Jesus Christ. Just what he says. For what is our hope, joy, or what? Crown of rejoicing. The crown that he's talking about is every time you lead somebody to the Lord, you get another jewel in that crown. And not everybody can do this, and not everybody does this. But this is for soul winners, for people. But let me tell you something about this crown. This is not just for people who go knocking on doors and say, hey, I'm from Cove Baptist Church, you go to church, you work, you know Jesus Christ. Would you like to know Jesus Christ? Would you believe in him? And I'm thankful for people who do that. But how you act is as much of a reference to people's salvation as if you say something directly to them. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Anybody that walks in this church and is lost, they come in here, they feel the presence of God because we have good people in this church. We do. Everybody in this church is good people. They love the Lord. All of you got a testimony. All of you got a past. All of you got a situation that brought you here for whatever reason it may be. So when we walk in this church, we feel the love of Christ. We're going to feel the love of Christ because you're going to hear about Christ and all that Christ has done for you. Well, anytime that somebody walks down this aisle and accepts Jesus Christ, everybody in this church is going to share in that, because here's the reason. Because you help provide the atmosphere for the people that come in this church. Every time you shake a hand, every time you hug a person, every time you bug somebody in this church and you smile at them and you tell them they're welcome in this church, when they come to this church and they come to know the Lord, you will share in this because you provided the atmosphere for someone's salvation. Do you understand? Give the Lord a hand of applause. This is why it's so important to have a church that loves people, welcomes people, cares about people. Angie puts some things on Facebook, and I appreciate what you do. She put on there, this is one of the friendliest churches she's ever been in her life. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes.
Now, Facebook, wow, that's a whole other sermon at some point in time. But I love it, because it's actually how we represent the world through this church. Because I put my sermons on Facebook. People can go to our website and watch it around the world. That's what Larry's back here filming it for. Every time you give a dollar to this church, you give your tithes and offering to help support this church so that this ministry can go around the world, so the people around the world that's got access to the internet can get on here and hear about Jesus Christ. If they come to know Jesus Christ through that camera back here, you give to this ministry, you're going to share that because you help somebody come to know the Lord. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, the Larry's going to the next one. Righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearance. This is for a particular group of people. to live their life every day praying and hoping and are looking for the second coming of Jesus. Now, let me tell you why this is important. If you're looking for Jesus, it means you're ready for Him. Not everybody that's on a church roll across this land or any given denomination on any given Sunday is ready for the Lord to come. You understand? A lot of people come to church not even saved. And some people that are on church rolls don't attend church. So not everybody that's affiliated with the church is ready for the Lord to come. But if you're ready for Him to come and you're looking for Him to come, it means you're praying every day. You're studying God's Word as often as you can, and you're involved in God's house. If you're going to God's house, you're reading God's Word, and you're praying, that means you're looking for Jesus, and you're ready for Him to come. I'm ready for Him to come. I'm excited for Him to come. This world and all that's going on in this world, and I say this all the time, keep this in mind. I know the Lord's coming because the Middle East is about as awful as it's been. Since the history of time. Everything that's going to happen on this globe is going to happen over it, folks. Because that's where the Holy Land is at. Holy war is against not only this country, but against Christian people. They're doing everything they can to get away and to do away with Christian people and Christianity. Because they don't like it. They don't like what it stands for. All that simply means that Satan is at an all-time war against Christianity. It don't take a real rocket scientist to figure this out. You look at your newspaper, you look at your 6 o'clock news, you look at the internet, and see what all's happening around this world. And I promise you, the Lord's ready to come. And He's coming. And to those who are ready, a crown one day will be given called the crown of righteousness. Because the right thing for me to do is to look for the Lord every day in my life. You understand that? What this means. The right thing for me to do every day is to look to Jesus, pray to Jesus, come to His church, worship Him, and understand that He's coming for me and to my family and to all who believe in Jesus one day. I say come and come quickly is what I say. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Tried, that you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I want everybody to look at this. There's not a person in this church or the sound of my voice that's not going through some type of tribulation.
Amen.
You understand that? Nobody here living in a perfect world. I promise you that. There's something going on in everybody's life that is giving them trials at this point in time. I don't care who you are, what you are. Here's the deal. Some people come through trials and will win. Come through trials and will lose. But you need to know which side you're on. And understand that. Every day I have to deal with something in my life. If it's not my health, or if it's not my family, or if it's not my finances, or if it's not something else, I got to deal with it every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Everybody with me? Have I said that enough? Every day. Tomorrow you're going to deal with it every day. It may be my job. It may be whatever. I'm going to have to deal with something every day. And it's going to represent a trial in my life. Because Satan does not want you happy. He didn't want me happy. He doesn't want anybody happy. He wants everybody suffering a trial. Now here's what I want you to see. Now when we had our study of Revelation, if you remember, I talked about this, but I want you to see something. The devil shall cast some of you into prison. You feel like you're in prison sometimes, don't you? I can't get away from Satan sometimes. And if you're in prison in four walls, you can't get away from anything. I feel like every time I turn, Satan is slapping me in the face. You get that way sometimes? Now, that you may be tried, you shall have tribulation 10 days. That's a biblical way of saying that everybody is going to go through tribulation. But it's not forever. Listen to me closely. It will not be forever. 10 days is a period of time. And all that says is, I promise you, if you live for the Lord, the day will come when this trial will be over. Agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
I want you to listen to me. I want you to talk back to me and listen to me and understand this. This is for a period of time. Because here's what I believe. I believe as Christian people, if I go to the Lord every day, I call upon Him every day, I say, Jesus, get me through this. Now look what it says. And be thou faithful. You see this word? Faithful to who? Faithful to Jesus. Faithful in your coming to church. Faithful in your giving. Faithful in your Bible study. Faithful in your prayer. I will give thee a crown of life. What this simply means is no matter what you're going through or what you're dealing with, and I don't care what it is, everybody's dealing with something. If you'll walk every day with Jesus, He will get you through it, and He will personally give this crown to you because you have overcome trials and tribulation. It is a personal gift from Jesus to you. I said last week, I shared with you, the last year in the life of Monica and I have been tough. Been tough. Very tough. Been tough on all kinds of different levels. It took a year because Matthew was really hurrying at counseling. He wasn't being treated right. He got his doctor's degree and he still wasn't treated right. Oh, he had people down there that loved him, but still he wasn't being treated right. Stephanie got her master's degree. It seemed like in worse terms, she couldn't find a job. This time last year, they did away with my job at Country Mart. Believe me, I made good money. That money was gone, left. We had to recoup it. We had to relook at it. We had to redo it. We decided to put our house up for sale. It took forever, 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 I thought, to finally get someone to come in and to buy this house. It was all a period of time that Monica and I had to walk through this with our family. Today, our house is sold. We have money in the bank. We have a new home. Matthew's got a job that people love and worship the ground he walks on. My daughter's got one of the best jobs she's ever had in her life. But it took me a year to get to this point. I'm here to tell you this, on a personal testimony. When you're going through the trial, hang on. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't walk away. You understand, Jesus is in control. You keep looking to Him. You keep looking to Him. And He will get you through. And one day He will personally hand you this crown because you were faithful even unto death. Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, the very last one. I'm not going to spend much time here, but just to point it out to you. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is a fancy way of saying to those who are in the ministry, those who have dedicated their life to ministry, not only just preachers, but other people in ministry, there's a crown one day waiting for those folks who have given their life that others may be saved. Now, there have been people that have touched my lives. There have been preachers that have touched my life. There have been ministry of music that have touched my lives. There have been people on staff of churches and friends of mine that have touched my life. And anyone that dedicates themselves to the Lord and working for Him every day of their lives, there is that crown waiting, and it's called the chief shepherd. See, I'm called the shepherd of this church, biblically. Now, that doesn't mean I'm any better than you. No way, shape, or form. I'm just a person saved just like you. But the Bible says, because I stand up and preach the gospel, I'm called the shepherd. Because I shepherd people. I lead people. I lead the flock. Jesus was a shepherd. He was the master shepherd. I follow Him. But to those who do that, there's a crown waiting for those folks. Now, all this is said for this reason. One day when I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, or if today that trumpet sounds and we're all raptured out of this world, what we do for the Lord on this side of the cross, we're going to answer for it. See, this is the good stuff. But there's also some other things we're going to answer for as well. And understand this, whatever we do in this lifetime, folks, if it doesn't bring glory to God, it's going to be burned up one day. Keep in mind, folks, we are responsible for who we are and what we are. I'm responsible for Roger, what I say, what I do. And if I've hurt anybody on this planet, I apologize for it. I wouldn't hurt anybody for love or money. But I'm a human being. I got a mouth on me. Sometimes I take things to the extreme. Sometimes I try to be funny. When I try to be funny, I'm not funny. See, not everybody thinks you're funny sometimes. But you got to understand, we're all here for one reason, and we're all here by the grace of God. We're all here because Jesus loved us. He loves you. He loves me. We understand. We all stand here in His presence, knowing what Jesus has done for every one of us. What a glorious day that will be when my Jesus I see. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Would you stand with me, please, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Oh, Father, in the very precious and holy name of Jesus, what a great day, Jesus. What a great day that's going to be when we see you face to face. Father, until then, I pray for our congregation and our people. I pray that, Father, every day grace abounds and mercy and love abounds. Father, I bound Satan in the name of Jesus away from this place, knowing, Father, that only your love and grace is here. To those who may be watching by internet today, Father, may they truly understand that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Yes, we talk about crowns today, but the one who wore the main crown is Jesus. It was called a crown of thorns. He died on the Calvary's cross. Everyone within the sound of my voice can be saved if they simply just look to Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me, love me. I want your amazing grace today. To those who need a quiet time at this altar, Father, for whatever reason, I pray that they will come. To those who need me to pray with them, I'd love for you to come. Father, I'm thankful for this congregation. I'm thankful for this church. May you bless it in abundance because we love you. Father, bless this invitation time. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as Larry begins to play, would you come in the name of Jesus?